During self-quarantine, we're all trying to clean our houses. How do we declutter? Let's bring in the expert right now. You can check out his book. It's called Let It Go. It is Peter Walsh. How are you, brother?
Pete McMurray, how are you doing? I would have thought they would have got you off radio long ago with your reputation. What are you doing today?
I am happy that you are safe and your family is safe. We've been emailing this week, and I told you that I was going to go through a few rooms because I'm one of those guys that saves a lot of things. You know, when you're in radio, you never know if something's going to come back or people sign things. And my wife is like, you have too much clutter. And I wasn't really able to take the time to start this week.
I've heard this excuse about a thousand times.
I know.
Go on.
That's why I laugh, because I'm sure you've heard this a thousand times, because people don't know how to start. Number one, it's so overwhelming to think, oh, I got to go through everything. And number two, you just don't want to part with some of these things. So help us get to the starting point, Peter.
Yeah, look, I think it's the everything word that is what trips you up. It's the everything word, because you walk into a room and you look at the stuff and it's like, wow, look at all that stuff. And I think that's the thing that overwhelms you, you know. And so we live in a world where everyone says, look at the big picture, my friend. You know, you need to look at the big picture, and that's the problem. You need to start small. And I think particularly at the moment where the world seems overwhelming and every day we hear stuff that we just don't know how to cope with it, it's more important than ever to start with something small. So one small task, whether it's one cupboard, one drawer, one small goal a day. And I say to people, start with something like 10 minutes a day. That's all I ask. And you can even make a game of this if you have kids. Give everyone a trash bag and get everyone to run around the house for 10 minutes a day. Set a timer, and everyone fills a trash bag with stuff that they no longer need, use, or want, stuff that they're happy to donate. Everyone then jumps on a scale and adds up the amount of weight that they have decluttered. So obviously you weigh yourself before and then weigh yourself with the bag of trash.
Yep.
And you make a note of that. And at the end of the week or the end of 2 weeks, whoever has won that then gets to choose, for example, the movie you want or the takeout that you'll order in or something like that. So not only do you start to clear the clutter, but you make it a game, an activity for the kids and the whole family. But whether it's kids or whether it's you, Pete, start small, my friend, rather than really big. And it might also stop you and your wife for grabbing something really large and hitting you over the back of the head when you're not looking.
So make it a game, right?
On.
So make it a game. But what the bottom line here is, it's all psychological. I mean, a lot of us that are listening to you right now are hoarders. I mean, there's some that are extreme and some that, you know, have just collected things over the years. But why do we attach memories to these certain items? Why is it so hard for us to throw something away?
Yeah, look, hoarding is a very specific medical term, and hoarding generally has a mental health issue attached to it. I'd pull it back a little bit, and particularly someone, for example, like yourself, who's been in radio, and you know, you like me come up from a large family, and I'm suspecting you have a lot of what I would call sentimental clutter, stuff that reminds you of an important person or achievement or event in the past, memory stuff. The thing is, when we look at an item that has sentimental value, the problem is we worry that if we let go of that thing, we're going to lose the memory. Or worse still, we're going to dishonor the memory of the person who gave it to us. So when you boil it down, Pete, it's often about fear. You know, you have a T-shirt from a Dead concert that you went to. And seriously, I've been in your house, man.
I know
what the problem is.
Please.
And the fear is that when you look at that T-shirt, mm-hmm. your wife looks at it and says, for God's sake, Pete, it's a crappy T-shirt. But when you look at it, You think about the wild time you had, you know, in the last year of high school when you were voted class clown in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I know about your life.
Right.
And so the thing is, you don't see a T-shirt. You see a huge, fantastic memory in your life. And so the thing you have to do, what everyone has to do with the sentimental clutter, is not to look at all of it, but to pull out some of the best of the best of the best, the treasures. And that's what my book Let It Go is about. It's about how to find the best of the items and then to display them with honor and respect in your house, you know, frame them,
right,
put them in shadow boxes, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you look at them, instead of feeling overwhelmed, they make you smile and laugh, and there's a story to tell your kids and tell people visiting the house.
Well, we're talking with Peter Walsh. The book is called Let It Go. He is a professional organizer. If you have a question for Peter, 312-981-7200. I feel like every time we have you on, people love to send in text messages because we feel embarrassed about this, don't we?
Yeah. Look, I think it is. Everyone feels like they're the only ones who are struggling with paperwork or clothes or kids' toys, you know, or just holding on to stuff that they're embarrassed about. And everyone says to me, I could never let you in my house. I'd be so embarrassed. Listen, friends, the truth is every single person in the world, except perhaps Martha Stewart, struggles with this kind of stuff and occasionally gets off the rails.
Mm-hmm.
Let go of the embarrassment. Let go of the guilt. All of us deal with it because we live in a society that says stuff will make you happy. And the truth is that's absolute BS.
Oh, boy. Well, I need to talk to you about pictures because we're all digital hoarders when it comes to pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And I have boxes of old pictures. And I have digital pictures on an external hard drive, and I have thousands of pictures on my phone. It's so overwhelming for most of us to think about, how do we go through these pictures? Where do we start?
Yep. Okay, you don't. You don't. Here's the deal. Look, we all attach such guilt to photos, and here's what you do.
Okay.
You find the best of the best. You don't want to spend the rest of your life weighed down with guilt and spending hours and hours going through photos of which maybe one in 20 is worth holding on to. Get a digital frame. Mm-hmm. There are great, new, fantastic digital frames.
Yes.
Get one for yourself, maybe one for your brothers and sisters, although that could be a lot in your case or my case. I'm from a large family too.
Right.
One for your parents, perhaps, you know, your kids' grandparents. And you can now get digital frames that have their own email address. So when you take a fantastic photo, you can email it directly to that photo frame.
Oh, wow.
So from now on, when you take a great photo, send it straight to your parents, your kids' grandparents, or to your brother's or sister's photo frame.
Oh, my gosh.
And instead of trying to keep track of all the photos, send the best of the best to the people that you love or to your photo frame at home, and don't worry about the rest. Like, why are you so worried about organizing photos? No one looked at the photos that are in the boxes in your house, and no one is going to look at the photos on your phone.
Nobody.
Not even you look at the photos on your phone.
No one.
So who do you think is going to look at them?
Oh, my gosh. The email the picture to the frame. That is fantastic. You always give us some type of gem, and I love that. So email.
Simple, right?
I'm going to buy it. I'm going to buy it on Amazon probably before the show ends. Let me get to a few of these questions. 309 area code.
Okay.
This happens a lot. My parents are downsizing and gave me all of the family photos. What do I do? Where do I start? That's I'm telling you, that happens
a lot, doesn't it? Wait a minute. Let me get this right. Your parents, you're one of 12 kids,
no,
right?
No, not me. I was reading a text message from a listener.
Oh.
I feel like parents feel guilty throwing things away, so they give it to their kids and they feel better about it, and their kids are stuck. So this person has all the family photos.
Okay.
What should they do?
Okay, here's what you Here's what you do. There's a great app called Google Photo, I think it's called, or Google Scan. What you do is you go through the photos and you take only the best of the best, make it maybe a day. Google Scan uses your phone to scan the photos, only the best of the best.
Okay.
It takes a better image than the original photo. It uploads them to your computer, go through them and make a photo book of the best of the best photos, make one for your parents, one for your siblings, send them to your parents or your siblings, and put the box of photos in the closet and leave them to your kids in the same way your parents dumped them on you, and don't worry about it.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Listen. Our parents were really the first generation that had any bulk of photos. Their parents maybe had 2 dozen black and white photos.
Yep.
We're really the first generation who's had to struggle with this. Stop worrying about it.
I know. It's just
Seriously,
crazy.
Stop worrying about it.
It's absolutely crazy. It is. 773 area code. I hear you, Peter. I have 26,000 photos on my phone. That is from Marlene. That is crazy.
But Marlene, here's the thing, Marlene. Just because you can take photos doesn't make you a photographer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
and maybe if you speak to a professional photographer, maybe 1 in 50 photos are great. What you should do at the end of one activity, one picnic, one ball game, one family dinner, go through and only, delete all the ones that are crappy, and then, get the email frame and send a couple to the people that you love. And for the rest, don't worry about it. It's like what you're trying to do is to hold on to the special event. The event is past. Don't live hankering for the great event you've just been to. Look forward to the next fun dinner party.
Right.
Let it go.
Don't look back. Look forward. Griff, let me ask Griff, my producer today. Griff, how many pictures do you have on your phone?
I have 575.
That's it?
Yeah.
Pretty low.
Peter, you're going to yell at me. I want everybody to pay attention.
What?
I have an iPhone 10. I have 29,968 photos on my phone. I keep buying a phone with more storage because I don't know where to start to delete these. Can I just mail you my phone and you take care of it and then
send
it back?
Please. Wow. Sorry, Pete. I dropped it in the toilet when I was going for a wee. I'm really sorry.
Oh, my gosh. Peter, I'm going to have you hold on. We have some callers on the line that want to talk to you. 312-981-7200. Peter Walsh, what's your website people can go to and grab the book, let it go?
PeterWalshDesign.com, and I also have a live Facebook chat on Tuesday at 4:00 Pacific, 4:30 Pacific time if people want to join in, but PeterWalshDesign.com.
So that would be 6:30 our time Thursday.
Correct.
I'm sorry, Tuesday.
Tuesday, sorry.
Tuesday at 6:30. More with Peter Walsh in just a second. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. North Korea's dictator Kim Jong-un has reportedly died. We'll keep you updated on that as soon as we get more information. You know, the information is kind of iffy coming out of North Korea. We don't know if he's passed away or he's on his deathbed, but is not good for Kim Jong-un. Bob will have more coming up at 2:00 in news. More with Peter Walsh next on 720 WGN. On the phone with us, he's a professional organizer. You can see him live on Facebook Tuesday at 6:30. His book is entitled Let It Go. It is Peter Walsh. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's go to Kathy. Kathy, thanks for holding. What's your question for Peter?
Oh, hi, Peter. It's such a great time to get organized with this pandemic, but Goodwill and many rummage shops in my area are not taking any items right now. And I don't have really a holding space for them, and I feel guilty throwing coats out and stuff. Any advice for us on either waiting or just throwing it out and getting over the guilt, given that the rummage shops aren't taking items
right
now?
Great question, Kathy. Peter?
Yeah, Kathy, look, it's the hand we're given at the moment. It's the hand we're dealt. Look, we have no choice other than to keep it in our homes. That's the choice we have. And so the only advice I have is to box it up, throw it in the trunk of your car to a point where you still have room for groceries, trash bags under spare beds in the house, you know, assign a closet or a corner in the garage. You know, it's a tough time, and it's going to be even tougher once the lockdowns are lifted, because I think Goodwill shops and so on are going to be completely inundated. The one thing I ask people not to do, and it's obvious, but a lot of people are just dumping stuff outside Goodwill stores. Not that I'm suggesting you would, but that's a pretty awful thing to do. But
right.
We have little choice other than just to hold on to it at the moment. Don't throw it into trash. That's an awful thing to do. And you know, that's all we can do at the moment, unfortunately.
We have put garbage bags of clothes in our garage. So once this is lifted, we'll be able to donate those. That's what we're doing. There's always room somewhere.
And I think when it's lifted, you know, there may be a great opportunity to have a nationwide, you know, garage sale weekend or something like that, which I think would be totally awesome, or a nationwide swap weekend. Mm-hmm. You know, I think something will come out of this. It's really lovely.
Peter, are you still with us? Your phone cut out.
I am. I'm still here.
I wanted to talk to you. Excuse me. I wanted to talk to you about a kitchen utensils. It seems like we get new utensils and spatulas and we keep all of them. I mean, I looked in our kitchen drawer today and we have six spatulas. Do we need six at the McMurray house?
I need to come to your house. I want to grab your kitchen drawer and I want to grab your cell phone. They're the two things. Listen, here's a really simple thing you can do during the lockdown or any other time. It's called the 1 month cardboard box test. It's really simple. You put a cardboard box or any other container on the kitchen counter. You empty all those kitchen gizmos, all those utensils, spatulas, everything else into the cardboard box. For the next month, every time you use a spatula, you know, a serving spoon, anything like that, you wash it, you put it back in the drawer. At the end of a month, anything that is still in the cardboard box, with the exception of something like, you know, a gravy squirter. What do you call them? I'm having a brain fart here. Anything you'd use at Thanksgiving or something like that. Things you use not very often.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that's still in the box that you haven't used in the last month, chances are you seldom, if ever, use them. They should go into the garage for donation. The 1 month cardboard box test. It's a simple way to see what you use and what you don't. And it's a quick and easy way to basically decide, you know, exactly how many spatulas you do need. How many spatulas do the McMurray household need?
I think we have six or eight. We need one. You only need one spatula.
That's what you... Yeah, can we get your wife on the phone for a second? Can we make this a three-way call just to check on that?
And you know what? I don't want to blame my wife because we've talked about this before. My wife has no sentimentality towards anything whatsoever. She will get rid of pictures. She will get rid of clothes. She doesn't care about kitchen utensils. It's me. I don't know what happened, and I didn't think I was much of a hoarder until my wife said, we talked about it this week, Peter's coming on Saturday, maybe we can get some tips, and she's like, you need help. I'm like, oh boy. Right.
Did she say it in that tone of voice?
Yes, that's what she said. You need help. You do. I come
that
from
pitying,
a long line
that pitying
of,
tone of voice.
Yes, I come from a long line of hoarders. Let me tell you, with the clothes in the closets, we're all going through everything. Do you have the 1 year rule when it comes to clothes? What's your game to get clothes out?
Look, I have a couple of ways to look at clothes, and here's a few simple tips. Number one, if you want to go into your closet as soon as this is over, if you walk in and have a look at your closet, any clothes hanger, any shirts or suits or whatever that have dust on them, chances are they can go immediately. So that's one. Shoes the same. If they've got dust on them, let them go. Number two, if you want a less painful process, turn everything on a hanger. This is called the reverse hanger trick.
Yep, I've heard of
this. Turn everything.
Okay.
I think I've spoken to you about this before. Everything on a hanger back to front. At the end of a year or 6 months, it's difficult there in Chicago because of the seasonal changes, but everything on a hanger back to front. At the end of a year or 6 months, anything where when you wear it, laundry it, hang it back up the right way. If the hanger is still back to front at the end of the period you're looking at, chances are you aren't never going to wear it again off to Goodwill. There's what I call the two-third rule. We tend to wear the same thing over and over. Go into your closet. Chances are the lower two-thirds of any stack of clothing, for example, T-shirts or sweaters, chances are the bottom two-thirds you never wear because you keep... I've been in your house, Pete, because chances are you love and wear the upper two-thirds, the upper third. So chances are the bottom two-thirds of any stack of T-shirts in your closet, you could pull out and you will never, ever miss them. So there are three simple things: the dust, the reverse clothes hanger trick, and the lower two-thirds of T-shirts, my friend. Stop screaming. Go into your closet. Chances are you can do that relatively painlessly.
Peter, what if people are saying to themselves, I don't want to get rid of these clothes, especially this leather coat or this winter coat, in case it comes back into style?
Good luck, Fonzie. It's not 1968. I wish you luck. It's not my job to tell you how to live your life. It really isn't. And if you're happy with it, and if you have the room to store it, I'm really happy for you to hold on to it. I genuinely am. But if your clothes, if you step into your closet and you don't, and you feel stressed and you can't find clothes easy to wear, and every morning it's a hassle to quickly and easily find clothes that make you feel good, then there's a problem with your closet.
Right.
You know, that's what it comes down to. The stuff you own should make you feel good about the life you're living. And if your closet makes you feel stressed before you even start your day, you know, then there's a problem. There's a problem. And, you know, the thing about COVID-19, and it's a really crappy time we're in, there's no doubt about it, but for God's sake, take advantage of the gift of this time, which is you've got time to spend, you know, some amazing time with family, you've got time to reflect on what's important, and you've got time to spend creating a home that reflects the kind of life you want. And we're never going to get this time again. So step up, and even if it's one room a week, just go through that room, one room a week with your family, and turn it into the kind of space that really makes you smile when you step into that room.
We all have that room that has a lot of clutter in it, and this is a perfect time to go through it. How healthy, or how much is it? What am I trying to say here? How can you improve your health or your own well-being by getting rid of clutter? It's like a weight off your back when you walk into that room after you've gone through it and said, wow, I really accomplished something.
Look, two quick things, one scientific and one anecdotal. Scientifically, science has shown that clutter raises stress levels in the body. It raises the cortisol level in our bloodstreams. And raised cortisol in our bodies increases our stress level, it increases heart problems, it increases sleep problems, it increases weight problems and obesity problems. Clutter definitely contributes to that. So on a scientific and medical level, clutter absolutely contributes to poor health and wellness. That's one. On an anecdotal level, and I think this is so amazing, every single time I've been in this business for 20 years, every single time I've decluttered a home where there are children involved, every time for 20 years, when children have come back into the space, whether it's a living room, a family room, a kid's room, every time when kids come back into that space, they start to dance.
Yeah,
they every love it. Time.
They love it.
And that's because somewhere kids deep in their souls recognize that an open, organized, decluttered space without stuff has the potential to bring into that space motivation, excitement, love, you know, focus,
right,
energy,
yep,
that physical stuff blocks. And I think that as adults, we lose that innocence, and there's no scientific evidence for that, but I have seen it hundreds and hundreds of times with children. So there's something there that is way beyond science. And I think as adults, kids have something to teach us there.
Peter, you're the best. Got to run. Got to do news. But Let It Go is the name of the book. And you can check him out on Facebook Tuesday night live at 6:30. Peter Walsh Design. We'll talk again soon. Thank you, my friend.
Pete, you're awesome. Thank you so much.